It is such a pleasure to close off the day by introducing Shani Terrigan. Shani is an amazing Talmidei Chachamim who teaches in a number of institutions. I think it's like 8 or 9 or something. But I met her when I was learning in Migdal Oz. And every single time she would teach, she teaches with so much passion and excitement. And it's spreads, it's fiery. And it, as a result, she makes sure that every student in her classroom walks away with a strong understanding of the material and also an equal passion and excitement for what we're studying. Shani is an expert in Tanakh and is famous for her Tanakh tours around Eretz Yisrael, where she'll have everyone bring their Tanakh with them and show them this is the place where X, Y, or Z happens. And she's a Yoetzet Halakha. She's in the process of finishing up her doctorate at Bar Ilan and finishing also a Sefer on Hilchot Nidah. Right? Okay. It is such an honor to have her to speak to us today about the dynamic leadership of Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. Right?
Yes.
Fabulous. Okay. And without further ado, Shani Terrigan.
And hello, Erev Tov and Chodesh Tov. It really is a schut. So firstly, Sarah, thank you. And a special thank you to Rav Perez and to Rav Van Leeuwen. Thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity. By the way, really with the microphone? Oh, I guess for the video. Beseder Gamor. To have an opportunity to speak to you. And I don't just mean and to share words of Torah, but particularly words of Torah with leaders. Leaders of the present Jewish community, but all the more so to empower you, to give you a little sense of direction, Be'ezrat Hashem, for the future as well.
Okay, and I'm always much better without. So what we're going to do this afternoon is basically take a look at Mikolot that you're all very familiar with, especially because we're going to deal with the first form of national leadership, which is really wonderful. And to speak to... Again, I'm going to say, wow, it's a yuppie. You guys are here. Again, just a wonderful reunion. And I'm going to say even a special treat to be able to continue Torah learning. Again, with students from the past, but also with the future. But speaking then about future leadership, we really do have to look at the past. And we have to take a look at the inception of national leadership, which we're familiar with from the Parshiyot HaShavua, in which we find ourselves right now. Namely those of Shmot Va'erabo. And this is where we're introduced not only to Moshe Rabbeinu, but to leaders who are basically going to accompany Am Yisrael for the next 40 years in the Midbar, but all the more so are going to be the ones who help Am Yisrael undergo a very significant metamorphosis. They're going to be the ones not only to lead from a physical perspective, from the Galut of Mitzrayim to the Geula, ultimately, of imminent entrance to Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to be the ones to teach us how in every generation, we're meant to impart these messages for the greater whole. And therefore, when we look at the leadership of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, what really is phenomenal is firstly to focus on the dynamic relationship between them and to appreciate as, on one hand, individuals, and on the other hand, as a duo or as a trio, or we'll see perhaps even calling it a triumvirate, Gana, how the three relate to one another, and especially you as world leaders. Gana, what it means not simply to work as a team, but for everyone to appreciate, Gana, their own mark, their own capabilities, and how to translate that as one works both with peers and certainly, Gana, whether it be chanichim, Gana, whether it be with nations, communities. So let's take a look at the onset of this leadership position that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to assume. Or perhaps that's the incorrect verb, in the sense that we're going to see that he isn't necessarily so enthusiastic about assuming a role of leadership. So we turn to Shmot Perek Dalet, and this is where we find Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehen lo yaminu li velo yishmu b'koli. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, offers about 6 different excuses as to why he cannot assume the position of leadership, but it's going to basically reach a climax Again, after he says they won't believe, and Hashem says, but I will provide you with otot, which as we know are meant to instill B'nai Yisrael with a sense of belief. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end, okay, I have signs in which to through which to impress them. And I have all different means then of being able to tell them that this is the God of their forefathers. But then Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you take a look at Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, Vi Adoni, Lo ish dvarim anochi, Gam mitmol, gam mishulshom, gam mi'az vabercha el avdecha. Moshe Rabbeinu recognizes, beyond focusing on the people and their need to believe, Moshe realizes that he also has to transmit messages beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. And therefore he says, I'm not an ish dvarim. And as I'm sure many of you know, in order to be a successful leader, one does have to develop skills of communication. Again, and here I don't just mean the oration skills, again, skills to be able to know how to speak to the people. So much so that Rashi, as you know, offers the famous explanation here, Lo ish dvarim anochi. What does he mean? Again, well, he's going to say later on, Aral svatayim anochi, kvad peh v'kvad lashon anochi, that Moshe Rabbeinu had some type of speech impediment. Whereas the Ibn Ezra explains, no, again, he spoke just fine from a physiological perspective. And his arilut of svatayim means that he doesn't feel so comfortable with the dialect of Egypt. After all, he's been away from the country for 80 years or close to 80 years or so, and in which case, again, he doesn't feel as if he's a master of the language anymore. So he turns to Hashem and he says, Ki kvad peh v'kvad lashon anochi. And then Hashem berates him. Mi sam peh l'adam, o piseach, o iver. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but I'm in charge of words, just as I'm in charge of any other physical capability, and for that matter, also mental abilities. Vayomer bi Adonai, shlach na biyad tishlach. Moshe's last excuse, or one can argue, his last reservation is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if I can instill the people with faith, and even if I can get messages across to them, shlach na biyad tishlach. Don't you want to send them someone who they're used to seeing? You know, send your regular messengers. I know that I'm not the first leader for them. There are other leaders. And sure enough, we're going to see from the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that who already was a leader with the people of Mitzrayim? Definitely Aharon. So Hashem says, you know what? That's enough. Vayichar af Hashem v'Moshe. Vayomer halo Aharon achicha halevi. Yadati ki daber yedaber hu. And this is a beautiful terminology. What does it mean? Yadati ki daber yidaber hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you know what, Moshe? Okay, Aaron, he is going to be the one to speak. But it's not simply, okay, only now I'm going to assign him the position of helping you out, assisting you in your speeches to Am Yisrael and to Paro respectively. But Hashem employs a terminology, yadati. Yadati in Tanakh doesn't mean I know. What does it mean? From the perspective of God, he was destined, right? Especially by Yirmiyahu. V'terem itzarcha babeten yidaticha. Yirmiyahu, you were destined to be a Navi. So too, oh, Moshe, don't worry. Aaron was destined to speak. What, you think I was just going to send you alone? No, of course I'm going to send Aaron. Yadat ki daber yidaberhu. Aaron, no matter what, was going to speak to the people. V'gam, hinehu yotzei l'kratecha. What's the proof? What do you know? He's on his way to greet you. V'ra'acha v'samach v'libo. And you know what? He is very happy. Unlike you, so to speak, who are very hesitant right now. He's happy, and he's happy to work with you. V'dibarta elav. So this is how it's going to work. You are going to speak, Moshe. As a matter of fact, you're going to be the one who's experiencing the nevuot. You're going to be the one to interpret the nevuot, say them to Aaron. V'samte tadvarim b'fiv. You're going to give him the basic messages of what he's supposed to relate to Am Yisrael. V'anochi eyeh impicha v'impihu. Both of you are going to be the speakers because here Hashem has already said, you've both been destined to be the leaders. Et v'horeti etchem et asher tasun. And I'm going to instruct both of you with regard to what to do. And so here is a little bit of the irony for now. And it seems that who's going to be the primary speaker? Well, Aaron is going to be the one to speak to the people. How will Aaron know what to say? Moshe is going to tell him based on the messages of Hashem. And who's going to be active in front of the people? Hashem says, both of you. And I'm going to have both of you serve as active leaders. As a matter of fact, Aaron is going to be the one to actually speak to the people. And while he is your mouthpiece, you're going to be the Elohim. Most of the Parshanim understand this to be. You are going to be a very dignified person. Again, imagine Moshe Rabbeinu walks around with his own mouthpiece. Right, Aaron is his own translator, interpreter, and messenger. One can even say, perhaps even an representative, and very dignified member here of parliament who is going to come even before Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'et ha-matah hazeh tikach b'yadecha asher taseh bo et ha'otot. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it very clear to Moshe Rabbeinu, both of you are leaders, but Moshe Rabbeinu, you have the mateh, and I'm not going to revisit the entire parak here, but the mateh of Moshe is meant to be seen as an extension of Moshe's hand, which ultimately is an extension of Yad Hashem, an extension of the hands of Hashem. So Moshe, even though you're both speaking, as a matter of fact, Aaron is going to be more engaged on a verbal level with the people, and even though you're both going to be acting, and you should just know that it's your staff that is going to be in charge of the otot. And an ot in Tanakh that we already see from the beginning of the perek is a sign that is meant to instill the people with a level of emunah. So with this, we're going to continue now and see what happens with regard to this very interesting dynamic. Moshe first goes back, as we know, to his father-in-law, asks him permission if it's okay if he leaves the ivory tower of philosophy and enters world politics. And now Yitro says, lech l'shalom. Hashem says, okay, now it's time. Go to Mitzrayim. Now take a look at what happens on the way, because we're going to revisit the story in a very brief manner. And Moshe takes his wife, his children with him. And on the way, Hashem first says, Pasuk Chafalef, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, V'lachtecha lashuv Mitzrayima, Re'ei kol hamoftim asher samti biyadecha, V'asitem lifnei paro, V'ani achazek et libo, V'lo yishalach et ha'am. Remember the same three signs that were called otot that you're going to perform in front of Bnei Yisrael? Well, guess what? Again, you're going to perform them also. Notice the plural, asitem. Again, you will perform them, you and Aaron, in front of Paro, respectively. But now they're not called otot. Now they're called moftim. A mofet, as opposed to an oat, is not meant necessarily to instill the people with faith, but rather to wow them, to impress them. So Moshe and Aaron, you're also going to be appearing together in front of Paro. And when you appear in front of Paro, you're going to say as follows, Ko amar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. Am Yisrael is my firstborn. In other words, they, like any firstborn child, who basically qualifies the parent as a parent, these people are going to qualify me as a god of a nation. And even though, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was known and existed beforehand, Hashem says, this is my divine debut. Through Am Yisrael, then everyone is going to come to a recognition of God. And therefore, if you do not send Bnei Yisrael, Shalach b'ni v'yavdeni v'atima'in l'shalcho, hine anochi horeg b'ncha b'chorecha, then I am going to deny you that identity of a parent. Then your b'chor, and in Mitzrayim, the weight of the firstborn carried not only and significant religious power, but also represented the entire continuity of the, I'm going to even say, godlike, divine line of the pharaohs. Take a look at this story, and which, as we know, is full of all these unidentified pronouns. A malach comes along the way and wants to kill him. Who's the him? All different possibilities. Who does the malach want to kill? Either Moshe or Gershom. Excellent. Or Rashi Eliezer. Excellent. The earliest Targumim say, who actually? Again, Gershom. Again, the Bechor. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told Moshe, Hine Anochi Horegat Bincha Bechorecha. I want you to tell Paro that I'm about to kill his firstborn child. On Moshe's way down to Mitzrayim, what does he have to experience? He has to experience what it's like to have one's firstborn child almost killed so that he can then deliver the message with gusto, with emotion, again, with understanding. And sure enough, Tzipora is going to be the one to initiate with the Brit Milah, and the child is saved. But now let's continue with our regularly scheduled program with the dynamic duo of Moshe and Aaron. And by the way, and when I say dynamic duo, come on, what do you think of? Batman and Robin, thank you, and everyone, yes, Anna, Tilda, and to a certain degree, we're going to see that And the Batman-Robin relationship really does help us understand the Moshe and Aaron relationship a little more. Just to give you an example. In the Batman-Robin relationship, who does more of the talking? Batman? Really? It's Robin. It's Robin. Yeah, Batman is like, he never says anything. I mean, he does a lot of actions, don't worry. But I can hardly even know his voice, right? And he has, in all the movies, he has all these psychological issues that we're not going to get into right now. But again, he doesn't talk much. It's really Robin who's the one, oh yes, bang, bang. Batman, this is what we have to do. He's the one, again, who basically relates to the people, and he's the one who talks to them. Again, and Batman is the Batman, right? He's the one everyone fears. He's the man of stature. And he has, his own castle, and we don't really see much of him outside of, you know, when he comes out at night. That's Batman. To a certain degree, Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, I don't mean to say that Moshe is Batman, really, don't quote me on this at all. Rather, there really is a certain stature of Moshe. Anna of Moshe is the one to save the day. Moshe is going to be the primary facilitator, and as we know, and ensuring that Am Yisrael are going to get out of Mitzrayim, or ensuring that Paro is going to send them out of Mitzrayim to qualify correctly. And Aaron is the one, as we see, who does more of the talking. Aaron is the one who's going to deal with the people. So let's see Aaron's reaction to all of this. Pasuch of Zayin, Vayomer Hashem al Aaron. And this seems to be a simultaneous scene. Lech likrat Moshe Hamidbara, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Moshe in Pasuk Yudalit that Aaron is on his way, which means that Hashem already told Aaron, yes, lech likrat Moshe Hamidbara, vayelech veivgesheo bahar alukim vayishaklo, and apparently Aaron already knows his function. Aaron, whom Hashem says, yidativ, I've already destined him to be a speaker. And Moshe, who said, shlach na biyat shlach, come on, just send your regular messenger, Aaron, was that regular messenger. And Hashem said, yeah, all along I was going to send Aaron to help you out. So Aaron, knowing that he's now going to work together with Moshe Rabbeinu, comes out to meet him by Har Elokim, Vayishaklo. Can anyone tell me, what is this Vayishaklo? Nana just forced us to remember, right? What resonates when you hear of the sibling reunion of two brothers and a kiss? Yaakov and Esav. But there you're a little bothered. Why? Don't really know what's going on there. It seems that this really is serving and as a foil relationship for the Yaakov Esav one. Vayagid Moshe Laron et kol debrei Hashem asher shlacho v'et kol ha'otot asher tzivahu. So Moshe then does the job. He says, okay, Aaron, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me. And this is the mission that we have to accomplish. These are the otot. Why does he have to show them to Aaron? Because Aaron ultimately is going to be the one to perform them and also offer a simultaneous explanation of what the people are supposed to believe. Vayelach Moshe va'aron, vayesvu et kol seknei b'nei Yisrael, and just to prove it, Pasuk Lamed, vayidaber Aaron et kol hadver masher dibar Hashem al Moshe, vayas ha'otot leinei ha'am. It's Aaron who is going to speak to the people. It's Aaron who is going to attempt through the otot to ensure that the people are instilled now with a sense of faith. So this is our initiation, really, to this dynamic duo relationship, where we see that Moshe and Aaron, that Moshe wants Aaron involved. Aaron, who is already involved, is now going to work together with Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to be the one involved with the people. Moshe is going to be more of the dignified statesman who is going to deliver the messages to Aaron. But now what we're going to see is that Chazal understand this very interesting reunion through the beautiful depiction, Vayishaklo. They're going to understand it in a very unique way. Right? First, we're going to see that the majority of Midrashim understand this as true sibling love, not only as a contrast to Yaakov and Esav, but for that matter, a contrast to most sibling relationships, wherein there generally is some level of jealousy, some idea of competition, especially if it's the younger brother, again, 3 years younger, who is going to have the higher stake or the higher stature than the older brother. So let's take a look at the Midrash Tanchum on this parsha, Zavar Acher, the top of page 2. Lech lekrat Moshe Hamidbara, Zeshena Amar. And we're going to see something beautiful. And if we had more time, we would actually develop the methodology here of Chazal. When they see the relationship here between Aaron and Moshe, what do they think of right away? Shir Hashirim. Which is a little strange, because generally when we think of Shir Hashirim, what do we think of? Think of a love story between a man and a woman. But what comes to Chazal's mind? They look at Moshe and Aaron, they see this kiss, and they think of Love. Oh, love. What sefer should I definitely go back to? Love. And guess what? In Shir HaShirim, there is a depiction of sibling love. After all, the ra'aya, the female persona, turns to the dod and she says, Mi tencha ka'achli. And I don't recommend this, girls, but she turns to her beloved and she says, you know, I wish you were more like a brother to me. And what does she mean by that? She recognizes that this whole boy-girl relationship thing, it's a little strange, right? Boy grows up, his background, his family, his culture and experiences. Girl grows up with her background, education, experiences. And there's this almost, again, expected, I'm going to say anticipation, that what happens, that the two of them are going to meet and they're going to build the strongest loving relationship, again, ever imaginable, and build a bayit ne'aman b'Yisrael. Do you ever think about that? It's like a little strange, right? That you meet someone, and you get to know them over a couple of months, years, whatever it may be, and then, oh yeah, now you're going to live, I don't want to say happily ever after, but now you're going to build the greatest unit of Am Yisrael together. And that's why the Ra'ayah says, yeah, it really is strange. You know, when it comes to boy-girl relationships, I much more relate to my brother, right? I remember taking baths with my brother. I, again, as she herself is going to say, we nurse from the same mother, right? That's a much more natural relationship. And what's interesting then is that Chazal say, wow, look at this. The sibling relationship really is the basis of a love relationship. Mi tencha ka'achli, when you think then of love, and what sibling relationship do you think of? You think definitely of Moshe and Aaron. Yisrael omrim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Technically, we're turning to Hashem. And we're saying, Hashem, mi yiten chaka achli, ata motzei kol ha'achim somim zel hazeh. And Chazal asks, why would we want a relationship with God to be a relationship of brothers? After all, most brothers hate each other. So the Midrash answers, Uve'eza achamu Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Am Yisrael has a particular sibling relationship in mind. When they say, I wish you were like my brother. Which brothers? The Moshe and Aaron relationship. Shenemar hinei matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Shayu o'avin u'machavivin ze et ze. Shebishah shenata Moshe et hamachut v'aron et hakuna lo sanu ze et ze. It was very clear that here Hashem was delineating different powers, different opportunities to different brothers, and they were happy. Each one was happy with the promotion, so to speak, of the other. And this, by the way, I think, is what Chazal are telling us from the basis of what leadership, certainly national leadership, is all about. It's not just about working well with someone else. Again, what made this dynamic duo so special? The fact that these are the two personalities who should most hate each other. They're brothers. They should be jealous of each other's jobs. And yet, they loved and respected one another for it. I'd like to draw, again, an extrapolatory kal v'chomer. And if these are two brothers, we anticipate should have these underlying resentment one for the other, then certainly, again, when people work together, whether it's on a committee, again, whether it's for a Shabbaton, whatever it may be, again, this is the underlying secret of success. Again, you want to have an effect on the people? Show them what it means to be involved and respectful one of the other, to be supportive one of the other. Again, don't just be a team player. Learn how to love your leaders. Again, and by this I mean the leaders that you work with. Let's continue with the Midrash. The Midrash tells us, Teda lecha, shebishah shamar kadosh baruch hu lemoshe, sheyelech b'shlichoto eitzel paro, v'amar lo, shlachna b'yad tishlach. Ata savur, shema ikeid moshe, shelo retzei leilech. What do you think? Moshe didn't want to go and save Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim? No! Enochein, ela kemechabed la'aron. He was so nervous. He was so reserved because he wanted to give the proper respect to Aaron. Amar Moshe, ad shelo amadati haya Aaron achim mitnavei lehem b'Mitzrayim shmonim shana. For the past 8 years, Aaron was their leader in Mitzrayim. And by the way, Moshe's right. And Moshe says, Hashem, really, you don't want me. I'm telling you, shlachna b'yat shlach. Send your regular. Again, I think that Aaron, he's doing a great job. Really, again, I don't need this. I'm going to be a protagonist in my brother's side, in my brother's life, in his leadership position. Notice that the Midrash says that was really the fact that that's the last argument that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to raise, tells you that that's what was really bothering him. He didn't want to step on Aaron's toes. Amar Lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Lo Echpat LaAaron B'Davar Zeh. No, Moshe, you don't understand. I'm not demoting Aaron. And Leman Yedati, I know that he's going to be working with you by your side. And not only that, I'm telling you, Aaron doesn't feel this way. Lo dai sheni mitzer, ela od sameach. Not only is Aaron not bothered, he's thrilled. Teda lecha she'amar lei. V'gam hinehu yotei lekvatecha v'ra'a v'samach b'libo. Eino omer v'samach b'fiv. He didn't just articulate his happiness. O v'samach b'lvad, ela v'samach b'libo. He was genuinely pleased, content, happy, thrilled with the fact that you'd be working together. Let's continue, though, and notice that there really are some underpinnings, though, perhaps of sibling rivalry. After all, Chazal recognized, Miyad vayicharach Hashem b'Moshe. Wait a second. Hashem just doesn't respond by saying, no, this is what I wanted, ideally, this dynamic duo, the two of you working together. Rather, it says, vayicharach Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially really is angry. Macharon afayashan, really? I don't know. It seems that Hashem says, okay, Moshe, I'll help you out. I'm going to give you your brother Aaron, who's already a recognized leader. He's going to help you. What does it mean that Hashem is angry? Chazal explained what happened at that moment. Shenitzla hakuna mimoshe v'nitzna la'aharon. Actually, something did happen. Moshe was not only meant to be appointed here as national leader and spokesman for the people, Moshe Rabbeinu was also supposed to be the Kohen. And as soon as he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach na biyat tishlach, send your regular messenger, Hashem said, okay, hallo Aaron achicha halevi. I'm sending Aaron, who is now the Levi. Well, don't we know if he's Moshe's brother, then obviously who's the son of a Ish Levi and a Bat Levi? Obviously the brother is also a Levi. Ela amar lo ra'oi hayita ata liyot kohen v'hu Levi. Rather, Hashem says, right now, Aaron is a Levi, and you were supposed to be the Kohen. But from here on in, because of this argument of yours, of Shlach Nabiyat to Shlach, Aaron right now is a Levi, but in just a moment, he's going to be the Kohen, and you're going to be the Levi. There clearly is, though, a symbiotic respect between the two. But perhaps this midrash comes to tell us, you know, there never really is a perfect equilibrium between them. Then in the end, Moshe, who was supposed to be, again, not only a Navi, but also a Kohen, take a look at what happens in the scene. Now Aaron is the Kohen, meaning it seems that Moshe lost something. And perhaps what Chazal are trying to tell us is that there's never going to be, again, a perfect equal ground. This one is going to be more talented in that area. This one is going to be more talented in that area. And it could be that this one is more talented in smaller groups, and this one is more talented in larger groups. Again, and you'll see, and that yes, these madrichim, they're both great. But this one works better with formal education and frontal classes, and this one is much better at Shabbatonim. And what's interesting then is that Chazal are also attuned to the fact that, yeah, Moshe, you should know that there really is at times also an imbalance between you. So I called it sibling rivalry, even though Chazal tell us not to worry. There was no rivalry whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there was simply mutual respect. And this is really the success of a dynamic relationship and leadership. To respect one another. Moracha. Anna, that one respected and feared the other more than, Anna, more than himself. And the significance of this is not only, you know, respect in an external, outwardly, kowtow fashion, but to genuinely respect each leader that you work with for their capabilities and for their, I'm going to say, their strengths as well. Let's continue very quickly with a few more midrashim, just to focus on how Chazal used this as a model, not merely of leadership for future generations, but ultimately the dynamic of relationships within leadership. Anna, the next midrash, Vayishak lo. Aaron comes and he kisses him. Ein anu yodim la mi chilek hakadosh baruch hu kavod. Im la Aaron, im la Moshe. Do you mind if I ask you this story? Who comes out looking better in the story? In the end, who is hakadosh baruch hu respecting more in the story? And at first glance, what would you say? Who's in the spotlight of the story? Who is the story clearly about? Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, then look how Aaron comes out in the story. What do you think of Aaron from the story? He's a tzaddik, he's great. He's already a leader, now he's going to continue to be a leader. He's going to be the one to deal with the people, but I love him more than for anything else because, vayishaklo, because he comes out and he recognizes that two is better than one. Tovim hashnayim min ha'achad. He kisses his brother. in La'aron and La'moshe. So the truth is that they come out, both come out looking really great. Yeshamrim La'aron, Shaya b'Mitzrayim, Omit Navei Lahem Yisrael, Shatira Kadosh Baruch Hu Legolotam, Kedei She'avo Moshe, Ve'ya'ir Al Dvarav, Yu Yisrael Omrim, and Metayam Mitz Navei Aaron. You could argue that this whole story is really for Aaron's benefit. Because Aaron, who has been the leader in Mitzrayim, and has been telling the people, yeah, the God of our forefathers, he's going to come and save us from this place. And now Moshe is coming to corroborate everything. So Aaron is going to benefit from the story. Aaron is going to benefit from Moshe's election. Or one can argue, Moshe. Kedei she'avo Moshe, v'yaminu lidvarav. And or Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's going to come, and Hashem assured him that the people are going to believe in him. Amar Rav Reuven b'shar shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe b'midyan lech shuv Mitzrayim anachlak hadibor l'shtei kolot v'naseh shnei partzufin v'ya Moshe shomea b'midyan lech shuv Mitzrayim v'aron shomea lech l'krat Moshe ha'midbara havei yareim el b'kolon nifla'ot. Isn't this beautiful? You should know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy appointing Moshe in Midian, you should just know that at the same time what's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also appointing, so to speak, Aaron and telling them both to come together. Notice, by the way, the beautiful imagery that's employed here. Nechlak hadibur l'shtei kolot. That God's voice, so to speak, was divided into two. A voice divided into two. Yeah, don't even try to understand this. Again, and yet, what does it mean? Again, a dual voice. And Chazal used this terminology very often in Midrashim, whether it be by Ben Sora Umore, or whether it be by Shamar V'Zachor, B'dibor Achad Ne'emru. The idea of two voices of God is trying to show you that they're both equally true. Right? You can't say one voice is nicer than the other, sweeter than the other. No. Again, each one is a valid and correct appointment. One of my most favorite midrashim, honestly. Chesed ve'emet nifkashu, tzedek v'shalom nashaku. Again, a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim, and a which Chazal say, definitely read that into this pasuk. Kindness and truth meet, justice and peace kiss. Chesed ze Aaron, sheneemar tumecha v'urecha li'ish chasidecha, Moshe's bracha to Shevet Levi, ve'emet ze Moshe, Shenamar b'chol beiti ne'emanhu. He's credible. He's trustworthy. Have chesed v'yamet nefkashu. When Moshe and Aaron met, it wasn't just the union of two wonderful personalities and leaders. It was also trying to show you the attributes of each one. Moshe is the ishamet. Moshe brings his strength, his truth, his credibility. Again, not just to the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but as we know, to giving of the Torah, and to all the stories of leadership that you're going to hear about in Sefer Shemot and in Sefer Bamidbar. And Aaron brings chesed. Aaron brings, as we'll see, a very dynamic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The union of the two, Hashem says, Yadati, I've destined this. You need the Moshe strengths, but you also need the Aaron strengths. That's the paradigm of dynamic leadership. To not only recognize and not only respect and not only love your fellow leaders for what they have to offer, but ensure that you complement each other perfectly. To make sure that you both work in assuring, or all of you work in assuring, that the proper values are going to be transmitted to the communities. That's chesed v'yamet. Tzedek v'shalom nashaku. Tzedek is Moshe. Shalom is Aaron nashaku. It's not enough that they meet. They have to kiss. And kissing is not only a closer encounter, the kissing is obviously a depiction of love. You have to show that they really can work together. You have to show, and this is what Chazal are telling us, not just nice ideas, oh, chesed, and shalom, chesed and emet, shalom and tzedek. Yeah, they're all coming together. What Chazal are telling us is, but they come together through Moshe and Aaron. They come together through leaders. Leaders are the ones, again, if the representatives of communities, if you can go out and you can show people that you can work together, that you can respect one another, that you can genuinely love one another, then automatically they will pick up on these values of tzedek and chesed and emet and shalom. And this is exactly what we see with regard to the symbiotic relationship between Moshe and Aaron. And another pasuk and Shir HaShirim, which again, at first glance, you would definitely not think of Moshe and Aaron, but Chazal say, if this is a sefer all about love, and it's true, primarily about the love relationship between woman and man, which is depictive of the highest form of a relationship and love that can be expressed between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Chazal can't help it. They also think of Moshe and Aaron who loved one another. So let's take a look. Shnei Shadayach kishnei ofarim tomei tzviya. The dod, the male persona, turns to the ra'ya and he says, and your two breasts are like two perfectly matching fawns. And notice that Chazal explain, what does this mean? And by the way, if you look in the Art Scroll translation, this is how it's translated. Gen Shnei Shadayach, these are Moshe and Aaron, your two perfect leaders. Why are Chazal thinking, okay, Moshe and Aaron, and are the Shadayim? Yes. Ma Shadayim halalu, ein achad mehem gadol mechavero, kach hayu Moshe v'Aaron. Because they're tamei tzviya, they're perfectly matching. What Chazal think of, some type of metaphor of love that is perfectly matching. Who comes to mind? Two brothers. And notice that, could have said, okay, maybe Rachel and Leah, two sisters, or maybe how about Yaakov and Esav? They were to'omim. Yeah, but you can't find them in the context of love. Again, unfortunately, only sin'ah, but Moshe and Aaron, that's where the nishikot come. Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron and Moshe? Sometimes it says Moshe and Aaron, sometimes Aaron and Moshe, because that's the way it should be. Lo Moshe gadol mi Aaron, v'lo Aaron gadol mi Moshe b'Torah. And they both are on equal planes on everything. And you would think, but Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, pe'el peh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, there are some diburim that went straight to Aaron. And Aaron also is the Kohen, is going to teach particular mitzvot as well. Hashem asher asa et Moshe ve'et Aaron. And sometimes again, Aaron and Moshe, shnei shadayach ele Moshe and Aaron. And if you walk out of this year, and even with the one message, that is you work as shlichim, for the values of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Torah Yisrael, if you work out saying, you know what, I walk out saying, as long as I appreciate, and truly, genuinely love and respect, the peers that I work with, and I show that, to even walk out saying, I'm going to make a greater effort to make sure that I demonstrate in front of others how much I respect my peers. Even if sometimes, again, on newsletters or on flyers, you know, sometimes it will list the organizers. Maybe go out of your way sometimes to put yourselves first, but maybe sometimes yourself second. Again, to try to show that, you know, the order really doesn't make a difference because we work together and we create this truth and these values together. Let's continue then. Yana Weta, the next midrash. And the truth is that I was very selective. You should know that I omitted about four pages over here. But let's continue. Yana, the midrash says, Navu l'chayayach batulim. Yana, I forgot to tell you, I'm just a little obsessed with Shir HaShirim. Yana, but here you see this. Yana, that when, again, you generally don't think of a Moshe and Aaron relationship when you open up Shir HaShirim. But what do you know? Navu l'chayayach batulim. The same thing. The doe turns to the raya and says, oh, what beautiful, Yana, cheeks you have. Yana, what does it mean? B'shnei tarim, b'shnei achim, ze Moshe v'Aaron, she'toharan tova ze al ze. That they complement each other beautifully. That when you see the two brothers together, it enhances both their individual and their collective beauty. Ze samach b'gadluto shel ze, v'ze samach b'gadluto shel ze, because they genuinely are, again, mutually happy for the other's success. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Moshe, k'shem shemora'i alecha, kach yeh moracha alachicha. V'hu lo asachein ela v'yelech Moshe v'Aaron, v'yasvu et kol zeknei b'nei Yisrael, v'yidaber Aaron et kol hadvarim. Hekish k'tefo l'k'tefo, shadayin haya sameach, ze begadlutov shel ze, v'ze begadlutov shel ze. The two of them work literally hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, again supporting one another and happy with their mutual successes. The Midrash continues and tells us then, in the Eya, as we continue within the story, v'yidaber Hashem al Moshe v'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim. So let's fast forward. We know that they're going to act together. Again, so much so that Chazal asks, wait a second, when Moshe then has to appear in front of Paro and start performing, not the moftim, but the actual, what we call the makot, then Moshe is going to be on his own. No, don't worry. Aaron is really there. He's also involved. He's not by the sideline. Moshe thought that wherever he goes, Aaron is going to go with him. And Chazal tells us, no, Hashem had to tell Moshe, you have your role, Aaron has his role, and ultimately when it comes time for Yetziat Mitzrayim, and Am Yisrael will have to actively demonstrate their faith through Karban Pesach, take a look, Hashem comes to Moshe and Aaron in Mitzrayim, and tells them, okay, you tell Bnei Yisrael, HaChodesh Ezelechem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu L'Chodshei HaShanah, in 10 days from now you're going to take a goat or a lamb, you're going to watch it for 4 days, you're going to sacrifice it as the Karban Pesach. V'chilo haya dibor ela l'Moshe v'ovan. But that's strange, because if you just continue a few psukim later, you hear that Moshe is the one who's speaking to Bnei Yisrael. So maybe Hashem only spoke to Moshe. Why does the Torah say, El Moshe ve'el Aaron? Kishem shaya Moshe kalu lidibrot kach Aaron. Uminayin shalo diber im Aaron, dachtiv. Vayhi bayom, diber Hashem al Moshe ve'eretz Mitzrayim, l'moshe ve'lo Aaron, afkan, l'moshe ve'lo Aaron. Then Chazal learn, yeah, Moshe is speaking. Apparently Moshe is the one who heard it. Umipnei ma lo diber im Aaron, bishvil kvodo shal Moshe. Even if Hashem didn't speak to Aaron, says the Midrash, and Aaron's name is going to be mentioned anyway, so that you realize that the two of them truly are equal. And this is what we find in Perek Yud Bet, so much so that Chazal, in Milchilta de Rabbi Yishmael, let's look just at the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because this is going to be the opinion quoted by Rashi. Why does it say, Moshe hayachole kavod la'aron? If Moshe is going to be the one who's speaking, why does it say Moshe and Aaron lamdeni? The Aaron hayach olei kavod lo Moshe vaomer lo lamdeni vadibor yotzei mibenehem ki ilu shnehem medabrim. Because what did they do first? And this is an amazing message of leadership. First, Moshe heard the words and he said, "Okay, Aaron, this is what Hashem told me. But can you teach this to me? Can you explain it to me? And can you clarify certain points for me?" And then Aaron heard it and he turned to Moshe and said, "Actually, I think you should teach it to me." And here, the two of them were engaged in, literally, a chavrusa. And only then, hadibur yotzei mibenehem ki'ilu shneihem medabrim. So when Moshe spoke, it was as if both of them were speaking. Why? Because first he had a chavrusa, a consultation with Aaron. Another amazing message of leadership. And before you do anything, before you go out and run a program, before you go and teach a class, what is it always worthwhile to do? Look at this. Moshe turns to Aaron and says, "Can you teach this to me? Can you clarify this to me? Gana, can we at least say this together?" And here we find that this mutual consultation and respect is going to be not only mentioned explicitly in the Torah, but clearly pointed out by Chazal. And with this then, we are going to continue with the next theme. This dynamic duo is not just a dynamic duo of mutual respect and love and appreciation of their leadership, but they also appreciate their own character traits and their own strengths, as we mentioned. And what we're going to see here is that it's also important in any form of Torah leadership to make sure that you have the complements not only of chesed and emet and shalom and tzedek, but also we're going to see what Moshe brings to the table and what Aaron does. Who is Moshe? Moshe, as we mentioned, especially through his staff, is seen as an extension of Yad Hashem. Right? He's going to be the one to, more or less, show Paro again the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is going to represent, to a certain degree, the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael, whereas Aaron is more the representative of the people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will ultimately be manifest through his job as a Kohen. But let's see this. Firstly, in the Tosefta Masechet Sanhedrin, we know that what does Aaron symbolize more than anything else? Again, this is, again, Nezikin. Aaron is going to bring up Shara to the table. Aaron haya oseh shalom min adam l'chaveiro, shenemar b'shalom v'mishor halach. Again, not only, again, that din, Ela hadin, okay, v'tahar. Aaron is the one to say, wait, again, there's Shara, there's compromise, because Aaron knows how to deal with the people. But let's see this. Again, in the Psukim, on the top of page 4, when Moshe and Aaron, and this is very interesting, and begin their acts in front of Paro, right? So first, Aaron is the one engaged with the people. He's going to be the one who speaks to the people, who's going to perform the otot, right? So Moshe puts his hands in and out of his chest, but Aaron is the one explaining everything that's going on. But then Hashem had told Moshe, but you're actually going to be the one approaching Paro. And Hashem says as follows, again, we just read this in this past week's parsha, Lechol Paro baboger, Hine yotzei ha-maima, v'nitzavta likrato asfat ha-yor, v'mata asher napach l'nachash tikach b'yadecha. Moshe, you're going to go to Paro with a special mate. V'amarte elav, Hashem Elokei ha-ivrim, shlachani alach ha-leimor, shalachat ami v'yavduni v'amidbar, v'hine lo shamata ad ko, klama Hashem, v'zot tzedaki ani Hashem. Just to remind you, Aaron's staff had already been transformed into a tanin and then back into a staff. This time it's Moshe's staff that Hashem says, you take. And what's going to happen? Tell Paro, you're going to strike the Yaor with your mateh, and it's going to be transformed to blood. And then Hashem tells Moshe, that's your job. You deal with Paro. Tell Aaron, Emor al Aaron, Kach matcha, unite yatcha, al meimei Mitzrayim, al narotam, al yorehem, al agmehem, v'al kol mikve meimehem, v'yu dam. V'aya dam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, v'etim uva'avanim. You're going to deal with Paro. And when you deal with Paro, you're just going to, in front of his eyes, with your matzah, you're going to strike it, and you're going to transform the Nile into a bloody sea bath. Aaron, on the other hand, isn't going to do that. He's going to take his matzah, unite yatcha. Can anyone explain to me what that means? Aaron doesn't hit the Yor. What does Aaron do? He takes his matzah, more like a baton, unite yatcha, and he spreads his hand out over all of Mitzrayim, so to speak, in a symbolic fashion, like this. And that's what's going to transform all of the waters of Mitzrayim into blood. Vayasuchein Moshe v'Aaron, kasher tziva Hashem, vayarem b'mateh v'yachet ha'mayim asher b'yor. Who did that? Moshe, in front of Paro, leinei Paro, leinei avadav, v'yavchu kol ha'mayim asher b'yor l'dam, v'hadaga asher b'yor metah, v'yivosh ha'yor, v'layachlu Mitzrayim l'shtot mayim in ha'yor. And then, v'yadam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Who did that? Aaron. Right, everyone see that? So why doesn't the Torah just say, Moshe did X, Aaron did Y? You know, why do we have to remember, oh yeah, Moshe just does the milos, and Aaron, again, symbolically does this with his hand, and it's going to affect all the waters of Mitzrayim for us to see that they're working together the whole time. But Moshe is going to be, again, the one who represents more the powers of Hashem to Paro. Aaron is going to be the one more to deal with the people, and this is exactly what we see both in the Midrash, that tells us also that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he couldn't believe what he saw in front of him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you have to understand that what Aaron was doing, lo nitkavein ela lo okvam ad sheyared Moshe. Moshe haya savur shaya Aaron shutafi mehem vaya belibo alav. Moshe was up on the mountain and Aaron was down with the people, and this is going to be another expression of their respective strengths. Moshe represents that power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Aaron has to be the one not necessarily dealing with the emet of God, but the chesed of the people, the shalom amongst them. He has to bring the people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, especially when it comes to the manifestation of this relationship through the Mishkan, you're going to see that the Torah is going to record Chanukah HaMishkan three times. Moshe is going to coronate or inaugurate the Mishkan at the end of Sefer Shemot. Moshe does everything. It says he lights the menorah. He is going to light the fire over the Mizbeach. For whose sake? For what sake? Again, Shemot Perek Mem is all for the sake of Pasuk Lamed Daled. Vayichas Hanan et Ol Moed Uchvod Hashem Malei et HaMishkan. It's all about bringing greater glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about ensuring that now the Mishkan is going to get started as a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikra Perek Chet, and yet we see that Hashem said, okay, I want you to light the menorah and start the karbanot over the Mizbeach and anoint everything with Shemen HaMishcha and get the Kohanim dressed. And what's interesting is that Moshe does everything at the end of Sefer Shemot except what's not recorded, getting the Kohanim dressed. That's only going to be recorded, in Vayikra Perek Chet. וידבר שם משה לאמור, קח את אהרון ובניו איתו, ואת הבגדים, ואת שמן המשחה, ואת פר החטאת, ואת שני האלים, ואת סל המצות, ואת כל העדה, הקל על פתחו מועד. And then, Moshe is going to take the Kohanim, and basically create them as Kohanim, get them dressed as Kohanim. And why doesn't the Torah just put the end of Sefer Shmuel together with Vayikra? And now, why do we have to hear about two accounts of the inauguration of the Mishkan? Because one is Moshe, who inaugurates the Mishkan for Hashem. The other is Aaron, who inaugurates the Mishkan for whom? For Bnei Yisrael. And the proof is that only when Aaron, Bayom Hashmini, offers the Karbanot, only then will the Kavod of Hashem actually come to the people. Vayar kol ha'am, vayaronu, vayiplu al pnehem. Not only do they each have their own strengths, but they're very smart. They recognize that their strengths can best be put to use in different forum. That Moshe's is more of a ben adam l'makom, and Aaron's is more of a ben adam l'chaveiro. Anna, if you look on page 5, what I wanted you to see as well is, if their entire relationship began as a dual speaking relationship, we're going to see something unbelievable that happens. And this, I think, is perhaps a subtle message that Chazal are teaching us about dynamic leadership. but another one that I want you to walk away with. And that is, not only is the Torah teaching us, in order for leadership to be successful and in the utmost level, in order for leadership to truly work well and have an effect on the people, a long-term effect on the people, here a paradigm of leadership is being created with mutual respect, with a varied strengths, again, that each one is going to have. But we see something else. This leadership, and as we know, most forms of leadership, are going to be depicted through the speech, right? And that's what Moshe says. Moshe says, okay, I have no problem now with the signs. I still have a problem with the speech. Again, the best way to have an effect on the people, even in today's modern technologically advanced world, is through what? Speech. Again, yes, voice recordings, right? That's the best. Again, and that's why Moshe says, that's where I really need help. Okay, yeah, Aaron's going to help you out. And through your speech, you'll speak to Paro, he'll speak to Bnei Yisrael. Chesed v'yamet nifkashu. Beautiful. But what we're going to see that happens is that Aaron is the one initially who speaks more to the people. And as you know, when Bnei Yisrael first leave Mitzrayim, they themselves have a hard time with speech. It seems that their Broca's area in the brain, again, is also somewhat affected, perhaps with their slave mentality. And they don't necessarily, again, know how to speak. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, again, when it comes time to giving them water, Hashem says, okay, they're not ready for speech. Go away, hit the rock. Vayor Hashem Eitz, whether it be by Mara or by Masa Omeriva. Again, it's about hitting the rock. Comes Mamad Har Sinai, Hashem tells Moshe, okay, Moshe, now the people are ready for Dibrot. They're ready to hear from you and from God. They're ready to hear speech. Now you're going to lead them with speech. And at the same time, Aaron is going to still be the one involved in the people. When does this change? During the time of Chanukat HaMishkan, at the same time that Aaron is involved in bringing the Shekhinah to the Mishkan for the sake of Am Yisrael, take a look at what happens in Vayikra Perek Yud, Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav Aviyu Ish Machtato, Vayitnu b'en Eish, Vayasimu Allah HaKetoret, Vayikrivu l'fnei Hashem, Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Otam. Aaron's own two children bring the ketoret, and what happens? Vatete eish min lefnei Hashem, vatochal otam, vayamutu lefnei Hashem. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, hu asher diber Hashem lemor bekrovai akadesh, v'al pnei kol ha'am et kaved, vayidom Aaron. What happens to Aaron at the scene? Aaron is silent. Aaron, the leader who was supposed to be the speaker with Moshe Rabbeinu, he turns silent. He's still a leader as a Kohen. But what we see is that from this moment on, from Vayikra Perek Yud, Aaron indeed is silent. He doesn't say anything else to Am Yisrael. He deals with the Kohanim. No more speech. But what I'd like you to see is that there are two more times that Aaron is going to speak. And it's not just so that, again, we can appreciate that, okay, Aaron still has a voice, but it's in order for us to appreciate that when Aaron stops speaking, firstly, who must start speaking more? Moshe. To a certain degree, through Aaron's silence, de facto, what has to happen? Moshe, the Kfar Peh, the Kfar Lashon, the Aral Sfatayim, the one who was only talking to God, what does he have to do? He has to speak to Am Yisrael. And this, perhaps, is the greatest prize of leadership. Not merely to show mutual respect one to the other, not only to know one's strengths and how to work, but to learn from the other. To learn that when the other, for whatever reason, might can't do this, again, wait a second, maybe I could learn something from him, from her. And we're going to see through our own silence, Moshe develops into the Ish Devarim, so much so that by Sefer Devarim, Ela HaDevarim, Asher Diber, Moshe, Aaron's not there. And Moshe is going to give a 37-day laundry list of mitzvot speech. Something perhaps that he couldn't do before because Aaron is the one involved in speech as well. But you should know that Aaron does speak out twice. He speaks out only two more times until his death. One is in, again, Bamidbar Perek Yud Bet, when Miriam contracts Sara'at. Aaron yells out to Moshe, Bi Adoni, Al Natasheit Alinu Chatat Asher Noanu Vasher Chatanu, Al Natikam Met Asher Betitel Mirechem Imo, V'Achal Chati B'Saro. He says, wait a second, can we revisit sibling relationships for a moment? A sibling is someone who basically shares the same mother's womb. So you can't stand idly here. You have to say something. And Moshe is right. Vayitzak Moshe el narefanala. Aaron basically says, I will not stand and I will not be silent anymore when I see family, especially family relatives, who are dying in front of me. I've already seen my own sons die. I am not going to watch my sister die. Anna, Moshe recognizes that as well. Elna, Refan, Allah. When do they also both speak out together? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them at the time of Korach, oh, separate because I'm about to kill Korach and all of his followers. And what do Moshe and Aaron say? El alokei haruchot l'cho basar. Ha'isha chad yechetava kol ha'idat tiksof. And what's the common denominator? Korach is also a family relative. This is Aaron's cousin. And Aaron says, no, I will not be silent. By Yidom Aaron. Aaron is still a speaker. For whom? For what? Yena, certainly for family. Ena, but what we see is that through him, all of Am Yisrael, not just Moshe, all of Am Yisrael, are going to become not just greater followers, but greater leaders. Chazal teach us that when Aaron dies, Anna, personally, this is one of the most, say, not only tragic, but the most emotionally Anna-filled scenes in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. As a matter of fact, we have more psukim that describe Aaron's death and Moshe's death. And for all of you Star Wars fans, if I can just draw this analogy for a moment, Anna, that when Aaron goes to die, Moshe and Moshe, his brother, think about this, right? The beginning of his career, and Elazar, his son, accompany him up Hor Hahar, and he's wearing his big day kuna. And Chazal explained because, yeah, he's coming from a day's work in the Mikdash. Anna, he finished offering the ketoret in the evening, he finished lighting the menorah in the evening, and he walks up with Moshe and with Elazar. Anna, a beautiful depiction. Moshe says, okay, now get Aaron, take off the clothes of Aaron, because just like the clothing makes the man, Anna, you are now literally stripping him of his identity, and this is tragic. Again, and I think of, that's what I meant by Star Wars, really, please pardon me for a moment. Remember Darth Vader when he's dying? This was in like Star Wars 3. Anna, when dying, and Luke Skywalker, and then he wants to speak to his son for the first time without a mask, but Luke Skywalker knows that if he takes off the mask, then what's going to happen? Then his father, Darth Vader, is going to die. Right? So can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu knows that as he undresses Aaron, what's going to happen? Aaron is going to die. I imagine Aaron with each beged that's removed, the choshen, the ephod, the tzitz. Okay, now that Aaron gets weaker and weaker. But there's tremendous nachat. What's the nachat? He sees that his values are going to be perpetuated through Elazar's son. While he's being undressed, Moshe dresses, and the continuity here, he dresses Elazar. Vayafshit Moshe et Aaron ve begadav, vayalbish otam et Elazar beno, vayamot Aaron sham v'rosh ahar, vayared Moshe v'Elazar min ahar, vayiru kol ha'ida ki gava Aaron, vayivku et Aaron 30 yom, kol Beit Yisrael. Chazal learn, wow, that's interesting. Kol Beit Yisrael, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say Kol Beit Yisrael. What do we see from here? Because Aaron was the one involved with the people, that's why, Gen Shenemar ba'Aaron yuter mima Shenemar b'Moshe. Ba'Aaron b'chu oto ha'nashim v'anashim lefi sheya rodif shalom v'ohev shalom. O mesim shalom ben ish le'ishto, ben isha l'chaverta. That Aaron got involved with the people to ensure that there would be shalom. And this then is certainly a message of leadership that we're supposed to take. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he is not as beloved upon the people. He's respected. He's admired. He is, I'm even going to say, again, he's revered by the people, but he's not as beloved upon the people because Aaron was the one to demonstrate love to the people. And what happens in leadership is, I always see this, especially in at Machaneh time, and when counselors are working together, and a counselor will say, you know, it's really hard for me because everyone likes her, right? She's the favorite counselor, and I'm considered the mean one, right? But someone has to be the mean one, and someone then is always going to be the nicer one. And one has to appreciate that you need both. You need the good cop and the bad cop. You need the Moshe, and you need Aaron. Anna, imagine, had Moshe been spending his time Anna going to Avram and telling him that Yitzchak wanted to make up with him, and Yitzchak telling him that Avram wanted to make up with him. That's not Moshe, but that is Aaron. So one has to recognize one's abilities, respect one another for the abilities, know the forum in which to invest the most in those abilities, and attempt at the same time to learn and to develop the character that perhaps, again, you respect and admire in your peer, but to incorporate that as your own. Anna, I know that time is up. that I can't finish without talking not just about the dynamic duo, but the triumvirate. How about Miriam? And it's not just, okay, because I want you to know that Miriam is there as well. But Chazal say, yes, it's really three leaders that are going on. It may be that you see Moshe and Aaron together all the time, this dynamic duo, but it's really an amazing trio. Again, the Be'er was b'schut Miriam, the Amud Anan b'schut Aaron, the Man b'schut Moshe. And not only that, you should know that Miriam was the first of the three, that she was already dealing with the people, Chazal say, as one of the Mieldot, that she was ensuring the survival of Am Yisrael, that Shifra was taking care of the mothers and Pua was taking care of the children, Shehaita Mifia Yayin Bipia Tinok, or Pua Shofia Panim Keneged Avia, or Pua Shofia Panim Gen Keneged Paro, whatever it may be, Miriam is really, one can argue, not only the oldest, but maybe she's the trailblazer amongst these leaders. She's the one to show them, no, you do not stay put. Again, anytime you see, you cannot be passive. You have to respond. Again, and Miriam is certainly that way from the very onset. That's why it's Miriam. What I'm going to say is really the power behind both, or fine, maybe not the power, the inspiration behind both Moshe and Aaron. How do we know this? The first time Miriam actually appears is as the Achot, the sister of whom? Take a look in Perek Bet. She's the sister of Moshe first. Ledea Maya Aselo, right? Achoto. She's the Achot of, again, of the infant baby. Hoa is now placed on the Nile. Through her, by the way, not only Anna, does she make sure that Moshe is sought after? Through her, the mother is going to return to the scene as well. Through her, Chazal explained, she was actually the reason behind Moshe's birth. But even more than that, what's the next time that Miriam is mentioned in Perek Tetvav? Anna, that's where we have, on one hand, As Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael et Hashira Hazod, coming up. Anna, a week from the Shabbos, and Pasuk Chaf, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achot Aharon. Chazal say, wow, isn't that interesting? Yana, the first time she's mentioned is Achot Moshe, the second time she's mentioned is Achot Aaron. We're supposed to appreciate, yes, because she's the sister, the older sister to both of them. Because she knows the power and the potential of Moshe and that of Aaron as well. But Chazal say, it also comes to teach you that she was already a Nevi'ah when she was Aaron's sister before Moshe was even born. But can everyone look at the Pesukim for a moment and tell me, what then does Miriam contribute to this triumvirate of leadership? Right, if we're speaking about complementary paradigms, Anna Ben, how does she complement this dynamic duo? What does she add to leadership for Am Yisrael? So I don't just think it's leadership for the women, right, Anna, and the men, because we even saw Aaron is making shalom, ben isha lechaverta, not just ben ish leishto. Anna, what is Miriam's prowess? If you look carefully, as Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael, Moshe is the one to initiate song, and this is how you sing it. And he starts, Ashira Lahashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a. And how do the people respond? Susvarach Bo, Rama Bayam. Right, it's said in a responsive fashion. But Moshe leads, and the people respond. How about Miriam? Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achot Aaron Et HaTov Biyada Vatitzana Kol HaNashim Achareha V'tupim Uvimcholot Vatan Lahem Miriam Shiru LaHashem Ki Go'o Ga'a Sus Brachvo Rama Vayam. How did you always understand this pasuk? What did Miriam do? Moshe was singing, the people were responding, and then what did Miriam do? Didn't we always learn that then Miriam led the women in dance? Right? Miriam went out with her tambourine and she started dancing. Is that what we always learned? Take a look at the pasuk. What does it say? It doesn't say that Miriam started dancing. Rather, she took the tof. And I hope no one minds. Oh, okay. Eric, we'll use this for a minute. She took the tof, and what did she do? I don't know. It just says. She took the tof biada, and what happened automatically? Vatetzana kol hanashim achareha bitupim uvimcholot. Miriam is the leader. And she picks up the tambourine. She doesn't even have to go out and dance. And what does everyone know? Time to dance. And Miriam is the one to instill the people with the sense of a mission. Miriam is the one to say, you know what, you don't even have to wait for me to say something. Do it on your own. Vatan lahen Miriam. Miriam doesn't lead them. Miriam responds to them because she gets them to lead. Chazal say this beautifully when we learn that at the time of the death of Miriam, there's no water. Chazal say, why isn't there any water all of a sudden? Because it must be that the Be'er, that the constant flow of water that provided for Bnei Yisrael was in the schut of Miriam. And when she died, there's no longer a Be'er. And sure enough, we see on the last page, Micha HaNavi tells us, Ki aliticha meretz Mitzrayim u'mibeit avadim titicha v'eshlach lefanacha et Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam. Don't forget her. She is a viable leader as well. She is part of this because what's her power? Let's look at Chazal in Dvarim Rabbah. Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael. Halcha adam Yisrael shamad lekrot batorah. Mao sheyem mutar lo lekrot pachot mishlosha psukim. Kach shenu chachamim ha-korei batorah lo yivchot mishlosha psukim. Why can't we ever read less than three psukim? Limduno rabotenu, lemahetzkinu, why not less than three psukim? Keneged Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or keneged Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, shenetzna Torah al yedehen, because they each gave the Torah, both of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And I'd like to argue that what is Miriam's contribution here? Well, let's go back to that first midrash, that the Be'er is b'schut Miriam, the Amud Anan b'schut Aaron, and the man, b'schut Moshe. The man is heavenly leaven from Shamayim. Moshe is the one to bring the emet, the tzedek, the words of Torah, as we discuss. He's more the messenger of God. He brings it down to the people. Aaron is in charge of maintaining the presence of God. That's the Anan. The symbol of God's presence, Gena, that is consistently there, again, in the Mishkan and above the Mishkan. And what's Miriam? Miriam is the Be'er. Miriam is the one who's able to appreciate that there are kochot from the people themselves. She's the water from, not simply, again, a cloud. She's the water from a Be'er, a natural source of water, an aquifer. Miriam is the one who is able to bring the waters from below, again, up above. And that's what I believe Chazal are trying to teach us through recognizing that each one of these three is necessary. It's not just a dynamic duo. The dynamic duo teach Am Yisrael both on the level of Ben Adam L'Makom and on a level of a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and how they're supposed to again understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relate to God. Again, they lead the people. And Miriam reminds the people that they have the kochot ultimately to lead themselves. The last message, then, that I hope you take with you, as we look at these paradigms of leadership, is that as leaders, then, you are not only enjoined to ensure that you speak and influence and ensure that your strengths and your talents are best used and respected amongst your peers and amongst your communities, but part of your job is to then infuse the people that you're leading to become leaders themselves, that you, then, should be the ones to teach, to inspire, and ultimately to show them that if you can invest in them, then they can invest in themselves. Halavai, that we can live up to this dynamic duo, trio of leadership, and be'ezrat Hashem facilitate the process of Torah and Geula. Chodesh Tov.
A very special thank you to Rabbi Nitzani for the always incredible shiurim and ending the day on such a high. We really bring the whole day together with different modes of leadership and different how each one complements each other, and with so many beautiful makor. Thank you very much. Really, the day was so much about leadership, and we thank you for bringing it all together. Thank you very much. Just before everybody runs, just two little announcements. Again, a very special thank you to Rav Hillel and Daniel, our team from Mizrahi, and Sarah, and Jacob and for such a wonderful day. Just two very quick announcements, and then we'll let you go. The first one is just to mention that we have a summer internship program. If you need to go, you can go. You can do it. I'll be a minute. There's a summer internship program that Mizrahi's run for many years called SIP. It's been run, some of you might have heard of it, where people come mainly from the United States to do an internship program. This year we started something new. It's the same program. It's called Enterprise Israel. We've partnered together with Oratory Stone, Rabbi Pesach Wilicki, and Rabbi Hillel and Daniel from our side, and taking it to another level. So it's going to be a 7-week internship experience where you can come and learn. There'll be learning programs, leadership programs as well as working in your field of choice. It's from June the 21st to August the 8th. We'll email you. I'm just putting it in your minds for your summer. And we've also managed to get a college credit from Hebrew U. You can come here. You have to pay for it, obviously, but it'll be a lot less than a college credit in the States. So you can also spend time doing, which will send you the course that we've picked, which is really Matem, that you can get a college credit. The first time that I'm aware of that you can come and some internship program and get a college credit, but we'll let you know more about that. And the final thing, you know, we're selling a lot of books today from Pomeranz Bookstore. We want to bring books to you. We just want to give you one book. It is a book that I wrote, and I'm really trying to get rid of them. So when I finished in South Africa, my name in South Africa was Lawrence. It's a whole long story. When I came to Israel, it's Doron. When I went back to South Africa, people knew me as Doron, but they said, I grew up as Lawrence, and when I went back into Likud, it was Doron. They said, listen, Doron, we know you as Lawrence. We're calling you Lawrence. So they called me Lawrence in South Africa. And when I left there, after 14 years of Shlichut, I thought instead of getting a gift from the community, I'll try to put a lot of articles I'd written, some of the Divrei Torah together in a book, and it was called, whatever it's called, Leading the Way, and it was not for commercial, I did it with Maggie, but not for commercial purposes, it was a gift back to everyone in the community, and I do have a few left over, so there are some here, it's from Compliments of Mizrahi, feel free to take it, feel free not to take it, it's just a gift, you don't have to pay anything for it. Lawrence and Doran are the same people, and it's just the outside as you go out. It's a lot about Israel, about leadership, about all different, call it collected writings and some of life's most important matters. Feel free to take a copy. Thank you so much for joining us, and really, batzlacha rabba to all of you. Thank you. Thank you. I already know some of them. Yeah, some of them. So, yeah. Starting at?